Good afternoon, everyone. You just Zoom Local Voices, who bring you people from the community and keep you informed. Today, I'm your host, Isela Gonzalez. Today, we're talking about mental health. Mental health, one of the part most important is poetry, the power of language in healing. Today, let me introduce Chad, Jane, Helen, and Tristan. They will introduce their artists about poetry. How are you guys?
Doing very well.
Good. Pretty good, thanks.
Who wants to begin about how long have you been doing poetry, guys? Anyone? I open the mic to anyone.
I've actually been writing poetry since 1979 when I had a very vicious breakdown, and poetry got me through the year that I wasn't going to make it and got me the help I needed to live my life.
Yeah, I started writing poetry in the seventh grade when I got my heart broken. And then I just kept writing, and it's also been a very healing thing for me. I've been through the mental health system, and poetry has been a healer for me as well.
What about you, Sha?
I had the incredible chance to go to CalArts for my grad school program, and really started diving into poetry there, where I learned that you can actually infuse poetry with storytelling too.
And how long have you been doing it?
Since 79. I've been writing since 79, but I think I started actually getting into the publishing part of it about 3 years ago. I think I was artistically born again in 2013, had a second chance at life, and I just wanted to talk about it all the time. I can't stop now, which is terrible, but terrible problem to have.
Yeah.
And do you know about a little about the history of poetry? Anyone?
Well, I mean, the biggest person to introduce poetry sort of into popular culture was Shakespeare. Obviously, there was poetry before then, but he wrote everything in meter, in pentameter, you know, and a lot of his lyrics rhymed. And Shakespeare made poetry sort of the play of the day. So people would come from everywhere in England and beyond to the Globe Theater and the theaters in the round, and they would hear and see these plays performed in poetic verse. So it made it sort of a popular language, and I think it's remained so, even though it's not at the forefront of popular culture as much as like television or cinema is, it's still very much a great part of what we do as a culture.
You want to introduce something?
Before we get too far ahead of ourselves, I also wanted to introduce a couple of events that are happening. All of us here are part of an organization called Painted Brain, and Painted Brain is collaborating with the Latino Coalition of the Department of Mental Health for Latinos in Action, or Latinos en Acción, and it's going to be Con la Mano que Ayuda, with a helping hand, and it's going to be an event at the California Endowment on May 31st, starting at 9 o'clock in the morning. All are welcome, but you should RSVP with LA County Mental Health, and it's going to be at the California Endowment. Pain and Brain is going to have some drawing tables and an art table, and all are welcome. The whole program will be in Spanish, but everyone is welcome to it.
What day did you mention?
May 31st.
You want to do any announcement before we continue?
Painted Brain is also doing a spring showcase at Spoke Bicycle Cafe at 3050 North Coolidge Avenue. It's along the LA River bike path, and it's on Saturday, April 30th, and we're just going to celebrate mental health with our music, art, and poetry.
Do you want to leave your personal information or how they been contact you guys?
Yeah, I can give you Jane's cell phone number right now.
Go ahead.
I'm kidding.
It's up to you guys.
You can reach me at my email, TristanScremin, that's Tristan Scremin, @gmail.com. Anyone can write me. I'll connect you with events going on at Painted Brain.
I won't give my contact information, but if you contact Painted Brain, their website, I'm starting a spoken word poetry class called the Poet Talker Band, and I'm teaching writing and performance. And so if you want to come over, it's at, in MacArthur Park, 2500 Wilshire on the 9th floor, although we are moving in about a month to closer to downtown.
What days do you do your classes?
Oh, it's on Friday from 2 to 4-ish.
Okay. It's under Pain and Brain?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Tell me about more of your poetry guys' work. Anyone?
I work in poetry in terms of delivering poetry through media. I like the idea of marrying sort of language with the image, meaning like visuals, like cinema, and sound design. So sort of the thing that I do to sort of bring more poetry into popular culture is to sell it with kind of a music video, you know. So it's not just the language itself; it's actually three different art forms projecting the story within the poetry.
Can you give me a sample?
This piece is actually on my website, thevideopoet.com. If you want to see it, like in the three art dynamic, but this is the language part of it. This is from my memoir, Mama's Boy, which I began while I was at grad school, and tells the story of that period of time when my mom was dying, which happened to take place the very same time when I was at CalArts. So this is called Storytelling. It's the summer before she dies, before the spring my thesis is due, and I'm writing a story on Mom and me. You need some poetry in it, Chad, something poetic to break up the prose. My grad school mentor leans in. This is more than story. For this, you need poetry. It's the August before she dies, and I'm in her hospital room. Tonight, I'll stay with her. Tonight, sleep beside her, in a chair that becomes a bed, a room that becomes a world, a night that becomes a life. How's it coming? Mom asks. It's not due till the spring, I say. Still, they tell me it needs some poetry. I wasn't talking about the book, she says. I was asking about you. Oh, I say, I'm fine. And she sits up in her bed as much as her elbows will allow, looks right at me, reduces me as much as her powers will allow, and I'm her boy again. I'm a boy. And the woman before me is 1 mile high on those elbows. Chad, she says, how's it coming? I return her stare. Not well, I admit. I feel like I can't breathe. And she takes my hand, puts it on her chest where the demon grows. I know what you mean, she says. And now my breathing is harder. She looks back at me, reduces me as much as her powers will allow, and I place my head on her chest on the other side of the demon and pray it will leave her body. I ask it to enter mine. I ask as much as my powers will allow. And she lifts my face with her hand so void of pigment. Stop concentrating, she says. We're here right now, not in that story of yours. I'm here. Be with me. And I take two deep breaths, one for each of us, and my mind quiets. The demon disappears. I am present with her. I'm present, and I want to stick the moment right into that story of mine, in between the prose, to break up the shit I wrote, break up with the shit I write. But instead, I fall asleep, my tears dancing down her blankets, her tears dancing down my hair. And the two of us, we enter our dreams, where we can write a story together. So that's kind of a poetic chapter in the larger book as a whole, which is mostly prose. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it'd be really nice to kind of break up a long-running story with chapters of poetry. And that, of course, takes place in the last few months when she was dying of cancer.
Strong and sensitive, too. You want to say something, Jane?
Oh, I wanted to say that... you know, beauty, poetry is huge. You know, you can go from the haiku, which is, you know, just a few syllables, And you can go to Shakespeare, which he, you know, 16 plays at least. And there's a word that we can use, synesthesia, where you use art. You can see the color, or you can hear the color, or you can taste the color, and you can feel the music, and you can touch the sound or the scent. And poetry uses all of these senses and intertwines them. It's sometimes why it sounds so confusing, but I really believe that it can be used in healing in that way, because it uses every part of your brain. It uses exposition even, which is more logical, but at different times with different people. It also gives people a chance to speak poetry, to hear their own voice, to express themselves. But the main thing is that it allows people to begin to give back to their community. And that's what's exciting about Pain and Brain.
So that is a form of healing internally, or how it works? How do you interpret in poetry with the healing mentally, and how it connects everything?
I think, voice is healing, and learning ourselves, our expression is healing, and poetry provides that. And
in addition to that, like the expression of it too, like when you're writing it, it's also healing to hear it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I remember when I first, Jane and I belonged to a writer's group in Pasadena, and when I first heard her poetry, just experiencing it, I mean, being able to see the world through her eyes for a few moments was very healing for me, because I felt like I wasn't alone in that way of seeing the world, you know?
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Also, I think you guys get at something interesting. There's the process of writing, which is healing for the poet. Mm-hmm. And then there's the process of listening to the poetry, which is sort of healing for the community in a way.
Yeah, I really think that's we're really missing out when we don't teach things like poetry in our schools, because our communities are faltering, and people with mental health problems are not getting the treatment they need, partly because the arts are excluded except as an exercise to keep them busy.
Mm. Yeah,
that's true. I'm agree with you guys. You wanna introduce your poetry?
Okay.
Some sample work that you have done?
This is called Soup. I wrote about 2 years ago, I think. He videoed his warning a week in advance. He thought he was entitled. He was enraged. This kid cuts off the lives of 7. How will any of us ever get to heaven? Rages are not the only roots in a bubbling dynamic. There are orange and green things, stalks of purple and gray things, basil, peppercorn, and garlic salt. Some people bury in the corn at the bottom, showing up when it's time for their infection. You can't stop cooking daily food, daily bread, and daily onions because that soup went bad. Soup is family. Soups and soup stuff are not all alike. When the stuff gets hot, some people ride the bloops to the top to play and prance and bop. Some soften, some surf, some freeze. Some of them expand, float, comforting and warm. What can you expect from a community kitchen? Some people are the noodles and some are chicken. I think soup is best homemade, hot, nursed upstairs in one of Grandma's blue bowls with crackers and apple mint jelly, and 3 movie tickets to Princess and the Frog, and a bobblehead. Family is soup.
Great.
That's great.
Lovely.
I love it. It's like a soup on the end.
Yeah.
That's great.
And by the way, Jane makes a great soup.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I think I don't want to over pronounce this at all, but I think that that's what our communities are. We are soup, and we need to learn to work together because we are nourishment to each other.
That's right.
That's right. I agree with you, James. You want to present something?
Tricky? Yeah, I'll present this poem called The Theory of Reality Has Never Been Proven. It was written when I was in Patton State Hospital. It was started when I was in Patton State Hospital, and it was completed several years after that. And two characters appear, Reality and Hugo. And these two characters are based on other clients, patients in the hospital. The theory of reality has never been proven. I spent the whole day looking for silence. Found her here in this dark corner, sharing tea with Hugo, remembering the conversations of entropy. How is it that my heart is so filled as the night queen, a cactus flower that blooms once a year and only in darkness, offering herself to the old fires, to the moon, even in this time when so much is forgotten? Reality spends her time bathing, walking in circles, snaps her fingers once. Say the world can end in the same instant when bars are pulled across so tight. This is how the world disappears. One person decides no longer to be herself. Prominent thinkers believe we will end in this manner. Things will simply run out. But then I have the memory of reality, the person, a thin, tall woman with short, tight, curly hair and soft skin, her habit of drawing dolphins, and her love of cup of noodle soups with corn chips. Her mind, like the galactic void, has the most of its energy in its emptiness. She once told me that she knew me in childhood. This was odd because I was certain that I met reality sometime in my late 20s after a period of loss, but she was adamant about the memory. She explained that we are both children and that in a way we will always be children, and that our parents were fast friends as soon as they met. She grabbed both of my wrists and looked into me. There are people in your mind, she said. There are people living in your veins. Remember that you and all you make is a completion. That day, I saved a place for her in canteen line. Hugo reminded me the night before it was payday. At that time, every inmate in Patton State Hospital received $12.50 to spend in the canteen. For the majority of people who smoked, this money was never enough. But for Hugo and reality, this meant that they could buy saltine crackers, saltines and oil, or small bags of corn chips, and lots of ramen soups. The soups were the cheapest and most filling snacks. They were the superfood of the hospital. When a patient was hungry, they simply walked around saying, "Anyone got some superfood?" Whenever I gave reality a soup, usually at the end of the month, she would say, "I will sing while I prepare the soup, and I will think of rivers while it nourishes me." Mm.
Awesome.
That's interesting about soup again. Yeah,
that was great. Yeah.
No, but it's interesting to me to listen to this poem that Tristan wrote because you wrote it, right?
Yeah.
Because this is the kind of poetry I like because it delivers story, you know? You're using the tropes of metaphor and image and lyricism to deliver a story, and that just makes it so much more powerful, you know? But I think it's really the story, going back to what Jane was saying, it's really story that binds people together, that brings communities together, because storytelling is the way that we relate to each other.
Right.
You know, not just on an imaginative, fictional level, but on a very heartfelt, like, personal narrative level.
Yeah, because, you know, storytelling is like the number one, the very top healer for people who have survived trauma, to be able to find their voice again and to be able to speak. And, yeah.
I agree with both of you. And in a certain way, everything is story. You know, you have a receipt. That's the story of what you bought at the store.
Yeah.
As soon as you have a memory, it's not real anymore. It's a story. So it's like a story. So story is so embedded in the human experience, very much so. I agree with that.
It's finding our voice, like Jane said, but then also being able to recognize our own voice in the story of others, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that's where the binding property is. That's where the glue is to realize that, you know, we're more the same than we are different, that really we're all one.
And the story can be expressed in many different ways. It can, like a story in a novel or something, or it can be expressed in beauty of art, painting, you know, sculpture. The story is actually told in those. And the story is also told in music. And poetry has this strong rhythm going throughout that keeps us walking. And
it's like music in that way, right? It's a mix of language and music.
Yeah. So everything kind of is poetry in a way. and yet it's still very simple, just syllables on a paper. Mm-hmm. But there's immense healing for communities in this, in the arts.
Yeah, before we go any further, I want to play this instrument.
All right.
What instrument? What's the horn?
This is called a tormenta, or a thunderstorm. And this was actually made by a sister organization of ours in Rosario, Argentina, called Pomelo en el Patio, which translates to grapefruit tree in the patio. And they're very similar to Painted Brain. They also work with the mental health community, and they have several workshops, including one where they made this instrument. They have poetry workshops. I also ran an art workshop when I went down there. And just to let us know that, you know, people all around the world, they, no matter where you are, people are struggling with mental health stuff, and people are getting better, and they're making their voices heard.
There's a sense in which we never, ever, ever lose our disabilities. You know, we're still finite. I don't care if you're the president of the United States or who you are. You're still finite. You can only live one day at a time. And I think that poetry can help people with mental health problems with, just everyday life.
Mm-hmm. And if you look on the internet and you look up the number one piece of performance poetry on the entire World Wide Web, it's Neil Hilborn's OCD. Hmm. I mean, so mental health is right there. You know, I mean, this is not something for the family down the street. I mean, this is right where we live. You know, this is us.
Right.
We look forward to the day when mental health community centers will have memberships the same as physical health, you know, memberships.
Like a gymnasium, to come for social
support, and, you know, to get well instead of hiding it off in this jail place, you know.
Right. That's right.
You know, guys, you took me back to my childhood. On my family, we got accustomed to do poetry. Actually after school, on my home.
That's great.
And I miss this part. And you make me remember everything on my childhood,
all right,
guys.
That's all great. Right.
Woo-hoo. Thank you for inviting us.
No, thank you guys coming by.
Much.
And all the poetry that you read right now, guys, is healing one way or another one. It is true. And you feel internally. The only people they can tell is you internally. But we need what you say, Jane.
Yeah.
We need like a gym.
Yep.
Gym, like a, what you say?
We need a barn for community mental health, arts, writing, and poetry, and music for mental health.
That's right.
Yes. And it exists, and you can see it on the internet at thepaintedbrain.org.
That's right. That's the first gymnasium, first one to open in L.A.
Okay, guys. Thank you for coming, and let me do my closing. Thank you for listening, Local Voices. I'm your host, Isela Gonzalez. You just hear poetry, the power of language of healing, at kpcradio.com.